something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
Well, here we are. Well, here I am. May was here. She got kicked out of the link. I tried to add Instagram, and it blew up. So here I am, happily sitting by my pool, ready to bring you some ducktails with cocktails, and we'll see how it goes. Oh, that's better. You can actually see. I have a problem with being able to see, you know, sort of near, sort of far. I'm going to get the camera. So, oh, look, there she is. I will add her to the stream there. Hey, how are you doing?
Well, hello, everybody, and see my surroundings. Do you know what that and that are?
Hospital bed. You have been really sick, too, right? Like, you got some sort of amazing make you, like, vomit gastro bug up in Canada.
Let me just say, okay. So, yes, when you hang out in a hospital for 2.5, well, actually, it would be 2 weeks, you're bound to acquire things that live and are residing in the hospital. And so, lo and behold, yesterday it hit me. I thought I had food poisoning. It would have been better to have food poisoning because I would be done. But no, I have acquired the lovely gastroenteritis norovirus. Not throwing up, but I do feel like I've been punched in the gut and everything moving down below. So yesterday was shitty to say the least. And you all know how that feels. I slept so much. Rice crackers, and this is what I'm drinking. Cocktail of the last, of course, on this screen. Cocktail of the last couple of hours is my Schweppes ginger ale. So there you go. That's my cocktail of the night. I found out that my dad has the same thing, so we probably got it from there. So we are just chilling at home. Now my sister's getting sick literally like 20 minutes ago. So
there you
go. I'm here because I love you all. Because I know you couldn't do DocTales without me. Last week, it was from the snow. If you didn't check that one out already, go do so. Right now, I'm literally in the bedroom on my bed and pretending that I can't mirror this thing correctly, but pretending I'm laying on this hospital bed.
I have video. Let me add it so you can see.
You can take the girl out of Canada, but you can't take the Canada out of the girl. See what you're missing?
Right. This back-breaking bullshit workout.
Just move to Canada for an arm workout.
It's pretty heavy, this shit.
Yep. And that is why I left it.
Perfect for making snowballs and throwing at you.
That's me shoveling my sister's entryway to her place. That's
when, though? Tell me, what was that? Like, that was like April 20th or 23rd or 24th, right?
That was last... Okay, today's Friday?
Yes.
That was last week. Right?
So a week ago, you had to shovel snow like that to get out of the driveway. And, I've been suffering here. Like, literally suffering. Like, today... I had to go swimming after I worked out because I was hot. And then I had to go swimming after I went golfing because I was hot. And I might go swimming again tonight because I can.
Because you're an asshole and you need a little cleansing.
Yes, correct. I need lots. I've now, needed cleansing forever.
I'll own it. We could make a joke about my asshole needing cleansing from this norovirus. Because that's the kind of people we are.
Yes.
But I know you like to rub it in. But that was last. Heather came home Wednesday. It was snowing. That was Thursday. We were shoveling. It was a blizzard. And now, actually yesterday, it was 60 degrees here. Can you believe it? So it's totally crazy weather. Unfortunately, I can't enjoy it because I feel like, poo. So yeah, even doctors get sick, and it's not fun. And the last time I came to Canada in August, I got COVID. So it just never seems to end. But that's what happens when you travel. You pick things up. But hanging out in a hospital is like not a cool place to do for 2 weeks because you do pick things up. And the other thing is now my dad has it, and we. Nursing home where he's at already had norovirus go through it. So let's hope he doesn't infect the whole building again, but he's not feeling great. And I was supposed to take him out for dinner tonight, but we can't because we're sick. So here I'm at Doctails. So everybody, I hope that you got to listen to the podcast of the week this week. I'm going to just start off by saying it's an amazing interview with Seek Smith. And we talk about Mom Army and what they're doing across the country, and Dad Army as well, which is a new organization. But if you remember back to the times of the deep, dark illness, there was a few people that really stepped up and spoke out then. One lady that we remember from Oregon, her name is the Patriot Barbie. Is that right, Tim?
She's from Arizona.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, that's a story. We have to get her on the show. That is a crazy, crazy story.
Yeah. Anyway,
she was a hairstylist that refused to shut down.
Yeah. So,
like, I mean, it's just amazing.
Not only that, this organization is all about standing up, loving on kids, protecting them. It's led by fierce moms and women across the country who really just want to create a better world for our children and protect them. And keep their innocence as long as possible and protect them from all the garbage out there, and also be involved in the community where they're at to have influence over some of the negativity that's happening. Let's just say all the crap that's out there that's affecting children and everything from predators, all this stuff with sexual identity, and just creating spaces and influences that's positive. And then the Dad Army, she talks about that as well, how we need dads who are positive male role models. We need to stop all the male bashing. I don't care what you believe and what kind of a feminist. I'm like over it, all this male bashing. It goes like all the way through, the hormonal stuff, but even into careers that women professionals are in. Every forum I'm in, it's always a male bashing, and I don't know. I'm over it. So we need strong dads, and we need women who support strong dads.
I think the way to kind of encapsulate that is, bitch, please.
but seriously, it's time to like get rid of the toxic masculinity talk and like show some actual healthy masculinity and model that for our kids, and allow men to do that. So women, step aside and let's let men be great role models too. And that's what's happening. So there you go. Sieg Smith is wonderful. She's a warrior. I love the whole military vibe that they got going. So take a listen to that episode. It is on all the platforms, and you can watch the video on Tube and Rumble. So there's my little shout out for that.
Okay. There's a shout out, though, for the Truth Bomb, because that got a ton of traction. That has the quote from the Truth Bomb has the most Instagram interactions of anything we've posted in the last week.
Say it isn't so, really.
Yes. Like a lot more. Because that's our tribute to our buddy and our guest, Rocky Shorey, an amazing man who exemplified what you should do to live your life to the fullest. And unfortunately, in living his life to the fullest, died in a climbing accident. Listen to that Truth Bomb called Risk. It is amazing. Not because we're amazing, but we are. But because Rocky's amazing. And we really wanted to pay tribute to him and his life and his lifestyle. And that's a great, great episode. And it's been getting a ton of traction online. And so, way to go, Rock. We need,
that's awesome.
We need way more Rocky and way less. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a dumb rhyme, but I can't. So that's
less cocky, Tim.
Yeah, unlikely that's going to happen. You can hope and pray for that, but unlikely.
Well, maybe we'll see what the audience here says.
Well, yeah, right, because they decide. So let's get to a couple insane stories, because that's what we do on Cocktails with Cocktails.
All right,
here's first one. I tried to get slides for this, but I couldn't. Trans woman left sobbing in JFK airport after TSA agent hit her testicles. I love reading these, because the way they're written, honestly, it's just absolute comedy gold. A transgender woman was left in tears at JFK airport after she claimed a TSA agent punched her in the testicles while she was going through security.
Punched her. Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Punched her. Yeah. The unidentified flyer took to social media to vent about the incident, in which she said the agent humiliated her in front of everyone in a series of posts that have since been deleted, according to the outlet. So I think she took down her bull posts, but whatever. Too late. Everything on the internet is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So a TSA agent at JFK airport punched me in the genitalia, yelled at me for having a penis.
Well,
if you look like a woman, maybe you shouldn't have a penis. I'm just, you know, whatever.
I'm thinking what's happened, but keep going.
And humiliated me in front of everyone after I told her to please stop. She captioned a photo of her crying in the airport bathroom, according to a screenshot of the post. But the embarrassment didn't stop there, according to the woman. The TSA agent followed me into the woman's bathroom and began talking about me to a coworker. Well, of course, how could you not? While I sobbed in a stall. Again, bitch, please. She wrote, asking friends on the internet to advise as to what she should do. I don't know. Dress in pants and look like a guy, because you still have like beans and franks in your whatever. All right.
Can I comment?
just a sec. One sec. In a follow-up post, she said she was left crying for over half an hour. This is the best quote ever. And I quote, my balls still hurt so bad. There you go. It's all you now.
Okay, so you're not a woman because you have balls. So there you go, number one. And I just want to get that clear. Any of us women here do not have balls. And no, she does not get to define what a woman is. So number two, I'm sensing what happened is this person that's dressed like a female did not tell the TSA agents when they went through and were going to get patted down that they would prefer or maybe really needed a man. And the shit ensued. Like, what do you expect? Because when I go through, I get a female to pat me down. When you go through, you get a male that pats you down. If you are...
Whoa.
If you are in disguise...
Could I request a female? Like, honestly, that would be way better.
Well, you know how you do it. You dress up like me.
I don't want to do that. I want to look like a dude and just get patted down by a chick.
No,
like, why
called,
is that so wrong? Tell me why that's wrong.
You're a freak. That's why. And everyone else will agree. Am I right? Then you're a freak.
No, they'll agree that I'm like I have it figured out. But
you're
whatever.
A pervert. But you I think we can all agree, and everyone will say yes. I'm, you know, what to what I'm saying. Apparently, obviously, that person, if they didn't say I have male genitalia, I need a male, then it's on them. And you know what? Of course, if I'm going to go grab and pat down somebody and not expecting there to be any baggage hanging below the pant line or your inseam, of course you're going to get hit in the junk. And if it hurts you that bad, you are a pansy-ass man.
No,
so
you're a bitch. Mission accomplished.
So I have no sympathy here because you got to – and it's why do you think that us physicians and people in healthcare, not just physicians, say that this is ridiculous if you're not declaring what your actual biological status is, if you have all those parts, we need to know about it for a reason. So it protects you, protects us, everything, but let's like own it. So there you go.
Okay, next story.
Well, I found something.
Okay,
literally
go.
That, and then I'll get the next
That
story. Came across the Journal of Urgent Care Medicine News, even though I am abstaining from entering that world again. Thousands of kids are now getting into melatonin gummies and presenting to the ER or the ED, however you like to refer to it. So the CDC recently reported that 11,000 children and infants presented to emergency departments in a 3-year period between 2019 and 2022, so an average of what, almost 4,000 a year, after ingesting melatonin in the form of flavored gummies, which, you know, look like candy, those were involved in nearly 5,000 of those cases. So most of these are obviously accidental ingestions involving kids between the ages of 3 and 5. Agency found about 3/4 of the documented cases of kids ingesting melatonin involved packaging in bottles, suggesting that young children are able to open the bottles for their own and that bottles aren't closed properly, yada, yada, yada. So absolutely, melatonin gummies, vitamin gummies, all that stuff looks like candy. And if you have edibles that look like gummies in the form of THC, also a problem. So people, not only your Tide Pods need to be put away, but anything that kids can get into.
How much frickin' melatonin do you have to eat to have like a toxic reaction, though? I mean, it's melatonin. It's not weed.
No, but obviously they're going to get pretty sedated. And some of those, you know, if you're a 3-year-old, consuming 10 milligrams of melatonin would make them pretty lethargic. So,
well, I might just push that. I might just do my own experiment to see how much melatonin actually makes you high.
It's okay, I'm going to confess here online, which I told you this story already. It's pretty darn funny, but I had a boo-boo the other day and consumed my nighttime medication in the morning. Actually, I was talking to Tim with my earbuds in and I was not paying attention. And at night, I take magnesium glycinate, which is calming. And I took my magnesium and my progesterone, and I'm on a good dose, actually 200 milligrams. And for me, it's very sedating. And the combination together is like taking a bunch of Benadryl. So I was, yeah, stoned for literally like an hour and a half. And then it instantly wore off as soon as I got that Starbucks into me. But I felt like a total bozo. But man, was I out of it just from the combination of the progesterone and the magnesium glycinate. So, you know, if you give kids adult doses of stuff, I can't imagine, you know, how intoxicated looking that they would be. But well, I've messed up myself. So there you go.
Remember the ultimate paradigm of pediatrics is children are not little adults.
Exactly.
They actually metabolize things different. They, you know, drugs affect them differently.
Uh-huh.
You can't just say children are little adults. That doesn't work.
That's right.
If they were little adults, toddlers would be little drunk adults.
But I know I remember that because we talked about giving them smaller doses of, you know, opiates and, you know, everything from that to aspirin, which they can't have. So it does. You're absolutely right. Toddlers are not little adults.
So. They're drunk little adults. And they should be treated as drunk little adults. No, seriously. Like that whole, the whole opiates thing with kids.
Oh, right.
Like even kids that have tonsillectomy and they send them home on like codeine or whatever. Like kids get absolutely obliterated to the point of respiratory depression or
yes.
death with an equivalent dose pound for pound for an adult on opiates. And it's not because they're opiate naive, because there's most people are opiate naive. It's because they're kids and they completely metabolize this stuff differently, which is really wild. Like when you think of that, like when you're a child, like the effects of drugs on you are different and they're metabolized differently. It's not just, you know, don't drink alcohol when you're a child because it'll fry your brain, or don't smoke weed because it'll make you psychotic if you do it as a kid. And it's always made me think two or three times about psychotropic medication in kids. You give an antidepressant to an adult, that's what it was studied in. I don't think any of them were really studied in kids, but we do it off-label all the time. How different is Prozac to a developing brain than to somebody that's 50 years old and, you know, has depression, anxiety, whatever? I would contend it's vastly different, and those studies need to be, done. But, you know, good luck.
No, you're
good
right.
luck in that happening.
You're right.
So I have another story.
All right. What you got for us?
This story is in the Why Canada Continues to Suck file. Canadian ventilators sold for scrap metal. Just over 800 of the ventilators were donated to hospitals in India, Pakistan, and Nepal, or sent to Ukraine as war surplus. So what's war surplus? Like you put it in like a catapult and shoot it at the Russians? Like, I mean, I guess they would need that. I mean, they have sick people. They have people traumatized. Obviously, war is horrible. Records show that the public health agency auctioned off new ventilators valued at just over $22,000 each for $6 of scrap.
Wow. Healthcare dollars at work, people. And then you wonder why I'm laying on a bed that looks like this with no call button and 32-year-old equipment.
We are the Canadian government. We will show you how to turn $22,000 into a vast, vast loss of $6. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Castro's son, for doing Castro's son shit. We appreciate you. Literally, $6 from $22,000. Now, the story is a little misleading. I read through all of it. They donated a ton. They repurposed some. They whatever. And then they eventually got to the point where they're like, we still got a gajillion ventilators because they ordered 160. $9 million of ventilators from one company that would not give them a refund, because why would you? It's a no-bid government contract.
Okay, well, that brings me to a point that we need to put in our back pocket for our interview coming up, which is that, you know, they get mad at all these physicians that are selling vitamins to people and profiting off of the the dark time. That's what all I'm going to call it. And then you got, you know, people that obviously it's like, well, it's hospital equipment. We needed them, but they profited off that too. And do you think they're taking them back now, the surplus, to like repurpose? Heck no, because no. It's all about the profit for them. So.
Right, but it's also part of the fuckery that went on, which was, you know, we thought that we needed ventilators because, you know, the initial thinking in COVID.
I know.
Right. You know, remember, like, you know, Cuomo from New York, it's like, I need ventilators. What am I going to do with 100 ventilators? I need thousands of ventilators. And like, no, you need zero ventilators.
Well,
ventilators.
People also thought that they needed a truckload of hand sanitizer and 100 cases of toilet paper. So, I mean, currently I need that.
Yeah, no. You have a GI virus. You need hand sanitizer. GI virus is toilet. Like, no, but that's a great point, because for a GI virus, hand sanitizer and toilet paper, that's a complete game. Like, literally, that's a game changer. That's like Florence Nightingale stuff right there, right? Like, it literally is. But like, we're hand sanitizing for a respiratory virus, which is like completely, completely insane. It's completely insane. It's not that you shouldn't wash your hands, but unless you coughed into them and sprayed them with respiratory goo, washing your hands means nothing. It's not polio. Polio is transmitted by eating it. It gets in your gut. It affects you that way. It gets into your neurological system, and then you have paralytic polio, blah, blah, blah. So washing your hands in polio, which is a fecal oral transmission, is like critically important.
Yeah.
Washing your hands with a respiratory virus is like, it's like sneezing and wiping your ass. I just sneezed. I need to go wipe my ass. Okay.
You have, this is too much.
incontinence problem. You don't, you just sneezed. Everything worked fine. But like, that's literally what it's like. It's like, well, I just sneezed. I better go. No, wipe your freaking nose. You sneezed.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's funny. I have nothing to say to that.
Wow, I brought you speechlessness. Do we have any other stories we talked about? Am I drinking?
I did happen to write a little short email newsletter that will be coming out maybe tomorrow, whenever our manager can pull it together. She's really busy, and, you know, I did my best today. But it's just a cute little thing about blurb about pets, because I was noticing how comforting my sister's dog has been. And I look back on my photos from when I've been sick and ill before, and the little creature comforts. So, on that note, I put out a little APB and a plea to everyone to send us your pet photos, because I think it'd be fun to see them and we can share them, because I'd like to find someone to come on and talk about pet therapy and the importance of pets in our lives, because,
I think that would be really good.
They really have a place. And, you know, we were taking the dog into the nursing home where my dad is, and to see people's faces light up, even some of the most demented people there with some of the most neurodegenerative conditions, you know, you see their eyes kind of open and their face kind of, you know, a smile try to come on them, and everybody's all excited about the cute dog. And there's somebody else there with their dog as well. And it's just a beautiful thing to bring some joy and some other heartbeats and creatures into the world there. Hey, Tim, you disappeared. Is that on purpose?
No.
Well, I thought maybe you were doing something that was needing to
can
be
you
offline.
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but we just don't see you. So anyway, I'll keep going on about, oh, now you're totally gone. Well,
hey, there you go.
There we go. So the point being, I want to see everyone's pets and how they help you. You know, send us a line about how they've helped you through some difficult times, and we will share that. We'll share it on our social and maybe include it in our newsletter as well. But I just think of me laying at home recovering from my multiple orthopedic surgeries with a cat on my lap or the dog by my side. And anyway, there you go.
Somehow I have to switch cameras. And you know what? I look just as freaking amazing in this camera as the other one.
You sure do. So,
no, that I think that's really powerful. And it really brings – we had an interview a couple days ago with Eben Alexander, who has one of the most worldwide renowned near-death experiences.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about how – he talks about how animals exist in the afterlife. And I was like – awesome. Really, really get rid of your filter. It doesn't work, man.
Oh, you're no fun.
Yeah. It really, really awesome. That'll be out in a month or so.
I'm almost done this book.
Yeah. It's really a mind blower.
Oh, and for the people listening, it's Proof of Heaven is one of his books called A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. Fascinating discussion we had. I don't know. I think we could promote it really quickly. And it was eye-opening. It kind of freaked me out a little bit because it doesn't fit all my narrative of what afterlife would be. But, you know, that it's his experience that he shared and his opinions on what heaven is, whether or not he thinks there's hell. And truly, you cannot refute that this was a real experience because of what happened to him. I mean, he was he's basically brain dead with no functioning brain. So he discusses how it's impossible to blame it on any like DMT or neurotransmitters firing off or his, you know, brain failing, synapses firing or any hallucinogenic type of experience. Great story. And his outlook on life and his attitude and what he's doing is totally changed now because of it. It's a great story. And anyway, very eye opening. But
okay, I am drinking.
Of course, you are. We all know that.
Well, you all know.
What are you drinking? What are you drinking? Monkey in Paradise vodka. And where is it from?
It is from the beautiful St. Petersburg.
Oh, well, we must take a trip up there.
Yeah, where I shall be going tomorrow morning for kiteboarding, the beautiful St. Petersburg. Yes.
So I need to get there as well. Maybe we can find the distillery, take a tour.
Yes.
You know anything about it?
No, other
you
than...
You didn't do your research.
No, my research... has been drinking this. It has not been going.
And we can see by the amount that's left in the bottle that you've done a lot of research.
I have done a lot because you know what? God gave me a liver for a reason.
And by gosh, you are using it.
I shall. Remember that quote from that unbelievably pretentious sounding British historian? And we were listening to that podcast where he talked about. Winston Churchill, and how he had a rhinoceran ability to consume alcohol. It, like, I sat there and I was almost weeping. It was so great. He had a rhinoceran capacity for
alcohol. That was pretty funny.
And I go, you know what? Life goals, baby. Life goals.
Oh, my goodness. Well, did you happen to check and see what's coming down the pipe for next week or not? We did this podcast a little late, so I guess we did share what's out this week on the weekly. We've done our duty.
Zeke Smith, baby. She's awesome.
Zeke Smith, yes. And I can't wait to get home into the warmth and sunshine in my backyard.
I know. I mean,
but Canada is warming up here. Thank goodness for all you poor Canadians. Other than that, I'm ready to leave.
The same.
I'm ready to leave this norovirus behind.
No, but it's not the same.
Like, but you know what? You know what's nice, I must say, is going out and going, and there's hockey everywhere, which my team is sucking, sadly, the Tampa Bay Lightning, boo. But watching hockey and getting poutine, garlic dry ribs, and all those other fun Canadian things, along with a double-double at Tim Hortons.
Do you know what's better? Like, way better? Swimming in your pool because it's so freaking hot. That's way better. Like, way. I love poutine, but I can make it in my own kitchen.
You can. So Jennifer's choosing for the Avalanche. I knew that. And Tim, are you still cheering for Alberta?
Well, there's no, the Flames are long gone.
No, I said Alberta.
Edmonton. Oh, no, I don't cheer for the Oilers. Are you kidding? I'm not gay.
Well, my sister cheers for the Oilers. I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan because I live there. And anybody else got a team? Shout it out to us. Let us know.
No, but Florida, the Panthers are playing unbelievable. And that will become my team if they succeed, which they will probably tomorrow.
What? Just so that we don't have the same team?
No, I'm just saying, like, no, for the playoffs. Because who else is going to cheer for, right? Like, you know, Carolina?
You don't get to. You just get to sit back and watch. Can't bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm going to totally bandwagon. Like, is that illegal to bandwagon? I'm going to bandwagon. So they're from Miami. Like, you know, whatever.
It's not illegal. Rick joined us tonight. Good evening to Rick. I wonder if he has any great pet posts or pictures he wants to send us. People can comment. I don't know that they can post pictures in the comments, so probably not. But we'll get those from you guys. All right, I think it's time to wrap it up because I need to
I need to get the norms before they close so I can get another, like, you know, 2 liters of whatever the hell this is called. Monkey in paradise.
Well, healthy living, Tim. Like, we can see you're doing some healthy living.
Healthy living. Not lots of sunshine, lots of exercise. I'll be hopefully skimming across the beautiful waters of Tampa Bay in about 12 and a half hours. So, yes.
Time to tuck you in.
This has been fun. We shall see you later.
Good night, everybody.
There you go.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD, to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS Free MD. See you next time.
While we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible, we can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.